Do you want to make your money make sense? Listen to Business Sense every Monday to Thursday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. and make sense of your money.
Well, good evening to you and welcome to the Monday edition of Business Sense right here on Adventist World Radio. We are, of course, powered by SID Media. You do know that every single Monday we do this thing called Personal Finance, which is a really, really important part of the show, one that we can't do without. And today is no different at all. It is, I think, the 16th of September 2024. At the bottom of this month, by the way, we'll be getting into the last quarter of the year 2024. And we'll be saying 2025 very soon. And my hope is that whatever it is that you were working on personally, from your finances to your dreams, your career, whatever it is, I hope it's going very well. If it's not, well, you still have a quarter or so. And so today's topic is even very important, right? Talking about emergency fund and insurance. What's the difference between these two concepts? And I do think that a lot of us get it wrong. Or either we don't understand, but whatever the case might be, that's what we are talking about. I'd like to hear from you on +27 734 703 520. That is +27 734 703 520. Now, your car breaks down, by the way, on a quiet road. Imagine this in your mind, right? Your car breaks down on a very quiet road. Your fridge sometimes calls it quits. About a year or so after maybe the warranty on that particular fridge actually expires, well, a sudden family emergency brings about an unplanned event, like a death of a loved one or something like that. Sometimes life throws us a little bit of curveballs here and there. Some people would even say throws us lemons, and we are expected to then make lemonade out of that. I don't know how far you can go doing that, but yeah, that's what life expects of us, right? And sometimes it's unwarranted. We are not ready for that, but it happens to all of us. So where does an emergency fund come handy? And where does insurance play a role in terms of softening life's financial blows? And to help us understand that, it is Teach Makonisi who's joining us this evening. He'll be letting us in a little bit on these two concepts. Good evening, Teach.
Hello, hi, good evening, Tapelo, and good evening to your listeners. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much once again for giving us your time. Really appreciate it. You good?
I am very well, thank you. I hope you are too.
Fantastic. It's 3 months to the end of the year.
Unbelievable, eh?
It is.
The year has kind of gone really quickly.
Yeah. And I was looking and I was thinking to myself, what's left? And I was like, yo, the list is too long because there's still a lot to do. But maybe 3 months is enough to try again, eh?
Yeah, I think the secret is to never stop trying.
Yeah.
As long as you have breath in your lungs, just keep on moving.
Fantastic. Fantastic. That's really great. Once again, thank you, Tish. We really appreciate your time that you've brought us once again this evening. We're talking insurance as well as emergency fund. And I was just thinking as we were talking about, you know, the introduction there, that these things almost happen at the time when one least expects, eh?
In terms of unexpected events, I don't know how expectant one can be of unexpected events, whether they're good or bad. By their very nature, they are meant to catch you off guard,
okay,
which is what they then end up doing, right? So,
so it's their nature to just find a way when you are just at the back of the month, eh?
Yes, you know, you're just minding your own business, you are behaving, and then these things just rock up and decide they are part of the landscape and you have to deal with them.
Yeah, I know. They always come at a very bad time. Okay, let's start then with the basics, Teach. What's the difference between the two? I suppose an emergency fund, the difference between an emergency fund and insurance.
Okay, so an emergency fund
would
ideally be a form of insurance.
Okay.
So if you were going to get really technical about it and say, okay, so what is insurance? Insurance is simply an instrument that indemnifies you from loss. So you are replaced to where you would have been if this event had not happened. So if we look at a car, if you have an accident in your car and your car is insured, the whole purpose of insurance is to make it as soon as possible like you never had an accident, right?
Yeah.
So you can continue to drive, which is why in some instances you find particularly car insurance comes with the option to get a hired car,
yeah,
so that you are fully indemnified almost from day one, you know, like you never actually did lose your car to an accident, and you can continue with your life. So I think that's a very important part for us to start, because we're saying you want your life to carry on as normally as possible, even after a disruptive event, which is why I say an emergency fund would almost be like a form of insurance, right?
Yeah.
Because what you're saying in an emergency fund is, I've got some money tied, I've got some money, you know, put aside.
Yeah.
I don't know what may happen, but, you know, I may need it when that I don't know happens.
Yeah.
And then maybe with insurance, it's probably a little more specific because, you know, you can't insure for an unknown eventuality. You kind of have insured events.
Yeah.
You know, you have a car accident. Your car insurance says in the event you have an accident.
Yeah.
But for an emergency fund, it's literally a lot more. You can't fashion it, right? So it's not necessarily something that you would say this emergency fund will only work for X. You could, I suppose, if you've got a few emergency funds.
Yeah.
But I think that's the fundamental difference between between the two, though one is a form of the other. Which you have a little more control over.
Yeah. It seems like the purpose then is different, right?
Well, I wouldn't split it out exactly.
Okay.
You know, you could say it's different in that. So, you know, if my, call it, I don't know, you know, it depends on what kind of a policy you've got. So if your car is insured, it's insured under very specific conditions, right? And you've got what we call terms and conditions and policy documents and all sorts of things.
Yeah.
So if my car gets in an accident while my friend is driving it, the first thing they want to know is, well, did I give my friend permission to drive the car? Is my friend insured? Is my policy paid, I mean, up to date? Have I been paying my premiums? That sort of thing. They may even want to know if I disclosed all material information at the point that I took out my insurance policy.
Yeah.
Whereas with an emergency fund, you know, you decide if you're going to activate it or not. You know, you probably do go through your own process of a degree of underwriting. You know, you do an assessment, you know, do I need to use my emergency funds for this? Is this what I'd set aside for, et cetera, et cetera. But I think one of the main differences is with an insurance policy, you have an insurance company making the decision as to when this policy kicks in.
Yeah.
With an emergency fund, it's usually directly under your control.
Sure.
And you determine how you want to use it and whether or not there is actually an emergency that warrants you dipping into the emergency fund.
Yeah, I'm thinking about how that requires some level of discipline, right? For you to actually dissect whether this requires me to tap into that emergency fund or just this is an event that maybe, in fact, I should have insured this event. Because I think that nowadays there's literally an insurance instrument or product for whatever risk that exists out there. And I think the insurance industry has really grown to that extent. But it requires discipline, eh?
It requires discipline. But also, I think right up front, let's say that these things work in tandem, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You don't want to have an emergency fund and then not have insurance. So if we keep going back to the example of your car, you know, the average car now in South Africa, you know, is possibly the best part of 250,000 rand. And you're looking at a really basic car.
Yeah,
I think if you start getting a little finicky around what you want the car to do and the sort of reaction you want when you pull up at the mall, probably looking at the best part of half a million rand, right?
True.
So If you have an accident, I don't see too many people sitting around with a 500,000 rand emergency fund, right? You probably want to insure that. But you know, if your brother who's at varsity in KZN suddenly falls sick and you need to travel down to go and see him, I think an emergency fund is definitely something that you'd want in your corner, because then you just, you know, you dip into emergency fund and you travel off you go, and you can see your brother and you can help him out. So I think there's an issue of quantum as well.
Yes.
And when we start talking quantum, I think it becomes relative mm-hmm. to what sort of a lifestyle you live. You know, somebody can sit there with a 20,000 rand emergency fund, and that's a lot of money for them. Yeah. But they do know that, you know, with 20,000 rand, if I need to travel home to see my parents and I'm living in a faraway country,
yeah.
I can quickly buy a ticket.
Yeah.
You know, I can put myself on the plane and I can get to where I need to get to as quickly as I can.
Yeah.
Whereas I suppose people with a more lavish lifestyle probably need a bigger emergency fund. So there's some relativity there to it. But insurance and your emergency fund, I think they work in tandem.
Yeah.
Insurance is usually for your assets. And you almost want to call it for productive assets, right? Because even when we take out life insurance, what you're actually doing is you're ensuring your ability to continue to provide, to be a provider.
Yeah.
For your family after you're gone, or for unforeseen events such as critical illness or dread disease, which ordinarily require a lot of resources that you wouldn't be have sitting around in an emergency fund.
Yeah. Here's one thing. I want to come back to this productive assets, because I think that on its own really sets the tone for one thinks about insurance and the whole purpose of insurance. But what I'm getting from you is both of them, right, they are meant to take you to a state where you are where you were before a particular event actually happened, right? And using your own subjective, I suppose, reasoning or whatever the case might be, you say, okay, this one I will insure, this one is just for an emergency fund if this and this and that happened, right? So I want to come back to productive assets, particularly from an insurance point of view. But here's a thing that I saw the other day, Tish, on social media. I don't know if you saw it as well, but one of the leading podcasters here in South Africa posted an income statement of someone who earned 200,000 rands, right?
Okay.
And I itemized the things that they spend their money on. From 200,000 rands, the guy is left with zero. And he is not really, if I looked at the stuff, he's not really spending money on lavish things, right? He's got a car that he's paying for, obviously, paying for the children's education. I think his house was somewhere around the 26 to 30,000, somewhere there. Obviously, a car is like your 15,000 rents and all that. So a lot of people that were commenting were like, how the hell do you come from 200,000 to zero? And then I'm sitting there like, but that's nothing though, eh?
Well, it depends on what you mean by that's nothing.
Yeah.
Do you mean 200,000 rand is not a lot of money?
It's not.
But wait, before I interject, what's the question though? Are we saying he shouldn't be spending his money in that way?
So what I'm saying is exactly what you are saying about relativity, right?
Because
people would say, well, with 200,000, I can do far much more. And I would probably save half of that money and make sure that I spend the other half and all that. But like I'm saying, if you look at the items, it's education, it's the house, it's the school, you know, it's literally things that one would say they are basic. Maybe the quantum in which he's allotting to each of them, perhaps that's where maybe the issue is, and the relativity part of it comes into play.
Not necessarily, Tapelo. So if you think back to probably 6 or 7 months ago, we had a conversation, right?
Yeah.
Where we said, you know, you need the right money habits.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's not necessarily, you know, people think that the answer to money is more money. And
yes,
people always
yes.
say, people with money will always tell you it's not about the money, right?
Yeah.
And maybe there is a degree of truth to that, because they don't necessarily wake up and are really worried about where am I going to get money to do X, Y, Z, because they can.
Yeah.
But I think that's a great example of, you know, what are the right money habits? Have you got them in place?
Yeah.
And regardless of how much you earn, if you have the right habits, so people may be looking at it and thinking to themselves, or to that, right?
Yeah.
But the first question is, do you have the right money habits? And the right money habits are essentially don't spend all the money that you make.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how much you're making, right? And how frequently you make it. The right money habit is I make 100K, I put aside some for my tithe, I put aside some for my offering.
Yeah.
You know, I then keep some for myself, which is savings.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So people could be looking at that and saying, whoa, man, how do you earn 200,000 and not be able to save any of it at the end of the month? Right. Which is the right question, because then you're saying that you don't have the right financial habits.
Yeah.
You remember we once said, if you don't have the right financial habits, and you earn more money, you're just going to have problems with bigger zeros in front of them.
Exactly.
As opposed to, you know, not having problems because now you've got more money. So
yeah.
A lot of people think to themselves, you know, when I earn 50,000, yeah. I'm going to save.
Yeah.
No, if you've got habits that can't allow you to save at 20,000,
yeah.
your habits are going to follow you to 50,000 and you won't be able to save when you earn 50,000 and you won't be able to save when you earn 100,000, when
yeah.
you won't be able to save when you earn 200,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
Like I say, you know, in some of the institutions I've worked in,
yeah.
you've seen people earning a lot more than 200,000 rand
sure.
a month. And
sure.
that's net, right? And then you find that the bank's trying to repossess the house.
Ooh.
Yeah, and you're thinking to yourself, okay, but when we lent you the money, we assessed the fact that you could actually pay it because
yes.
you were earning enough.
Yes.
You're actually earning more now than you were earning when you took out the house.
Yeah.
So what's the problem?
Yeah.
And the answer, as trite as it may sound, is just the right money habits.
Money habits.
And an emergency fund is one of those things.
Yes.
Because when you start talking insurance, you start talking an emergency fund, you cannot get away from the issue of indebtedness.
Yeah, yeah.
And borrowing money.
Yeah.
Right? And we've spoken about good
yeah.
debt and we've spoken
yes.
about bad debt.
Definitely.
And quite often, unplanned or rather emergency events are going to put you into bad debt.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if my mother is on her deathbed and she's wherever she is and I need to get there before she breathes her last, I'm going to borrow that money from anybody that will lend it to me
yeah.
at whatever interest rate I'm going to pick it up.
Yeah.
Because, you know, in my mind, getting to my mother before she passes on is more important than
yes.
worrying about whether I'm paying 50% interest
yes.
a month on
yes.
10,000 rand,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
But when I do come back and now, you know, reality sets in, paying 5,000 rands a month on 10,000 rands until I can pay back the 10,000 rands
yeah.
is really not doable.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But if I had had my emergency fund of like 10K sitting
yeah.
there somewhere or 20K
yeah.
sitting there somewhere,
yeah.
it would have been a much easier proposition
yeah.
for me to do. So you start seeing that, you know, there are a lot of different things with regards to our personal finances, which
yeah.
in reality are actually very, very
yeah.
intertwined. They're very, very linked.
Sure.
No emergency fund, you are more likely to find yourself borrowing money at exorbitant rates because
yeah.
you know you have an emergency and you
yeah.
need to take care of it. No insurance on your car, you're quite likely to find yourself paying off a car that you don't have anymore because you've
yeah.
been in an accident.
Yeah.
It's written off. The banks still want their money.
No, they do.
You don't have a car.
Mm-hmm.
You need a car to go to work. Mm-hmm. So now you probably find yourself buying or borrowing to buy another car while you're paying off another one because you simply did not have insurance. So
yeah.
both of those things work in tandem.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
Put together an emergency fund, you know, insure the things that matter. Those things work together.
Yeah, definitely. I suspect that this is where perhaps sitting with a financial advisor might also help, right? Because then at least to someone who can lay the land for you very nicely and help you to see where to put in a little bit of that, put in a little bit of that, especially from the very basic. Once you start working, it doesn't matter what the amount is. Like you said, it's about money habits. Even at the smallest, slightest amount of income that you make, you can sit with someone who can help you to dissect these things and give it some sort of direction.
Excuse me. So I think that is very correct, right?
Yeah.
The right money habits will take you really, really far.
Yeah.
There are people that live who have a less hectic lifestyle on
yeah.
a lot less money
yeah.
than people with a lot more money
yeah.
simply because the money habits are in place.
Yeah.
So you look at the social media example that we were talking about, you know, this guy's earning 200,000 rand a month.
Mm.
You know, we kind of hope his car is insured. But,
yeah.
you know, if he's paying 15, you know, 17,000 rand a month for his car, you know, you are probably looking at a 500,000 rand car.
Yeah.
It probably rides on 17-inch tires that are
nice.
High performance
yeah.
tires. So if he finds himself with a punch on one of those tires, he's probably looking at between 2,500 and 4,000 rand to replace the tire.
Mm-hmm.
So if he hits a pothole on the left side of that car and he needs to replace two tires,
yeah.
suddenly, you know, he kind of needs, you know, the best part of 10,000 rand before he can get the car back on the road. Now, if he doesn't have
yeah.
an emergency fund, he's going to need to borrow that. But if we go by what we saw on how he spends his money,
yeah.
it's quite likely that his bank is not going to want to lend him money.
Yeah, definitely.
So all these things sort of kind of loop up and tie up and have their place, you know. But ultimately, you want the right money habits right at the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, we spoke, I think, in one of our shows about children and how, you know, we give them money for offering when we go to church. And, you know, the little guys are half of them, if not practically all of them, really don't understand how that thing works.
Yeah.
I've been given a coin by mom. You know, the plate's going to come around. I'm going to drop it in there, and then I'm going to, you know, dash off and play. And when you go where they were sitting, you'll probably find three or four coins that were just put on the floor, and the little man forgot about this thing and carried on with his life, right?
Yeah.
But I think, you know, once you start handing over money to kids, giving them money for offering, you know, giving them a note to go in and buy that ice cream themselves.
Yeah.
Then you want to start having a conversation about money and trying to put in the right money habits from the right stage so that they're doing the right things when they start earning the money. That's, I think, a hack that a lot of people need to get. And people talk about it now, you know, to say, shouldn't the school curriculum actually involve stuff like this? To talk about money, to teach people about money, and I think there's some merit there.
Yeah.
But you know, before we start palming off the responsibility, those of us that are parents, those of us that are uncles, and you know, and have nephews and nieces, can actually start having those conversations.
Definitely. Without, of course, leaving it to the government. I love that point. Now you raised something that is important. You said insurance can be a productive asset.
No, I'm saying, you know, if you have a productive asset,
you
definitely should be insuring, especially if it affects your ability to be productive.
Okay.
But your body is also a productive asset, right?
Yeah, true.
So if you find yourself critically ill and you cannot work and you cannot get medical attention to the extent that you need to be able to be back on your feet, then suddenly you are not productive anymore. You need your car to go off to work. You cannot get your work done without a car. You're driving it around uninsured. You're putting your ability to be productive at risk.
Yeah.
You need to cover that.
Yeah.
You know, you are running your own little business. You have a laptop. You're carrying it around. This business is doing well. Someone decides to snatch that laptop from you. Suddenly, you can't do your work anymore. You know, maybe you should insure that laptop.
Yeah.
And that's what I meant.
Ah, okay. Get it. I get it fully. Okay. I think we've covered aspects of this one just a little bit, but what would be a safer amount? And I don't want to use necessarily an amount, but I'm thinking about it now in terms of months. So an emergency fund, perhaps 6 to 12 months, is that what works? Because I hear a lot of people in the industry talking about the fact that, for example, depending on certain jobs, it takes you anything from 6 to 12 months to get a job. So the best you can do is create an emergency fund that will cover the extent of the time that it might take you to get a job. Would that be fair?
That's fair. You know, though, I think if we narrow it down to just being able to replace your income, I think we make it really, really difficult for a lot of people. I don't think there are many people that can sit there with 6 to 12 months of net earnings, just you know, waiting for something that that should happen.
Yeah.
So that's you're almost like trying to take out income protection when you do that. You know, say I'm insuring my I'm taking out income against my I'm taking out insurance against my income in the event that I'm possibly retrenched or I lose my job or in some cases now where you just feel that this job is not good for me and I really need to get out of this place and think of something else, and then whatever finds me will find me later on down the road.
Yeah.
I think that's a reality now with a lot of people talking and thinking around their mental health.
Yeah.
But it's really difficult to speak in absolutes because, like you say, circumstances are different.
Yeah.
So if you're thinking to yourself, what happens if I lose my job? The insurance products that you can take out for retrenchment cover or loss of income, which you can take out specifically as part of your life insurance policies.
Yeah.
2 to 3 months cover, I think makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
In terms of just saying, hey, what happens if I suddenly need to travel immediately or if I need to? And the reason why I was saying it's very difficult to be absolute is because what I might need as an emergency fund sitting in a different country with a family of 4 or 5, you know, in total, and we want to go home really, really quickly, it kind of turns out to be, okay, so what's the cost of an air ticket? And what's the cost of tickets for all of us?
Yeah.
X amount. And if we do travel, we probably need X amount just to, you know, get things done while we're there.
Yeah.
So our emergency fund may end up looking like the best part of 40 or 50,000 Rand, if that's what I'm looking at specifically.
Sure.
But, you know, if your circumstances are different, you know, then that amount may actually be different.
Mm.
The thing is to give some thought to it as well, you know, to say, if I do find myself in a spot of bother, you know, how much do I need to just be able to know that I can take care of what needs taking care of?
Yeah.
Part of those things like car repairs are really important. You know, people are keeping their cars for longer now.
Yeah.
Just because of the economic situation. Yeah. So a lot of people do not have the experience of driving cars that are outside of a maintenance plan.
Yeah.
So you probably don't know how much it costs to replace a timing belt or to replace the brakes and pay cash for them.
Yeah.
You know, those are things that would be good for you to find out so that you know, and then you can use that, you know, to say, oh, okay, so this is what's going to be in my emergency fund, because I know that if I've got this much and there's a problem with my car, you know, I don't have to start by thinking, oh, you know, which bank's going to lend me money and put in an application. I think even the quickest of banks that will give you money is probably going to take the best part of 24 hours, you know, and maybe you don't have 24 hours.
Yeah.
So an emergency fund would be your friend in that circumstance.
2 to 3 months is what you're arguing, right? Which does make a lot of sense. Talking about, you know, as I digress just a little bit on the issue of people keeping their cars longer. Hey, Teach, people are keeping their cars longer, eh? And people are not buying cars these days.
Suppose
it speaks to a very, very tough economy. And if you speak to salespeople who are selling cars, especially new vehicle sales, I'll tell you things are not really good. I was just looking at, for example, in South Africa, new car vehicle sales the other day for the month of July, August, or thereabouts. And they've gone down 4.5% the last time I checked, and that tells you that people are not buying cars. You hear people telling you stories that I've been driving this thing for 10 years. I'm like,
precisely. Yeah. And they will have some stories to tell as well, because once it goes out of a maintenance plan, all those costs, you know, fall to you.
Yeah.
And you know, cars are mechanical piece of equipment.
Yeah.
You know, you can't determine when it decides that it needs a new bit and bob.
Yeah.
So having an emergency fund is good for you, because then you can react to those sort of things
as well. Yeah. The other day I saw mine saying that coolant. I'm like, what the hell is a coolant? Then I had to learn. Oh, that's what it is. Out of nowhere.
Yeah. And that's a really irritating part of the car, because I mean, you don't have that thing. You end up with a sealed engine. But, you know, bottle of coolant is probably a little over 200 Rand if you're buying 5 liters.
Yeah,
definitely. But drive around without it and suddenly you've got a 15,000-20,000 Rand bill to just fix your car.
So, yeah, that's quite very scary. Okay, tough economy. We don't always have money around. And sometimes we have to make decisions, you know, say, this is a priority, this is not necessarily a priority right now, and all those sort of stuff. Between the two, at any given time, what would you say one needs to prioritize, insurance or an emergency fund?
I'd be hard placed to split the two. Like I say, I think, you know, they each have their own place. So if my car is paid off and it's insured, and, you know, a taxi comes, God forbid, and bumps into my car, then they're going to fix it for me, and I'm grateful for the insurance.
Yeah.
But if my car also suddenly has a puncture and I need to put in a new tire, I do need some little money put aside, you know, in my emergency fund that says I can just walk into somewhere and buy a brand new tire and have that peace of mind. So both of them have their place. It goes back to just having the right habit, because I think what happens is, When the right money habits are not in place, you start making either or choices, even where you shouldn't be. So if you found yourself in that place where you were driving a car, it was uninsured, you now had an accident, so you think to yourself, okay, so insurance is actually important. So now you're going to start paying for insurance, but you're now going to try and convince yourself, because I've got insurance, I don't need an emergency fund. But like we said, you know, emergencies have got a very uncanny way of being the least expected of things. So So you just want that. You know, there's a very little spoken about part around managing your finances, yeah. which is just peace of mind.
Which is
just peace of mind. You know, a lot of heart stopping moments would be less heart stopping if you know that you have a response, right? So if you get a near miss in traffic and you're not insured, you're like, yo, thanks God that didn't happen, because if that had happened, I don't even know where I'd start, right?
Yeah.
But also, if you do have a near miss and you are insured, you're less likely to have heart palpitations the rest of the day, because you know that, listen, you know, I would have been able to fall back on my insurance.
Yeah.
So both of them have their place. We go back to that boring topic of focus on getting the right money habits. I need to insure my assets. I need to build an emergency fund. I should not be spending all the money that I make. And also, I should not allow what they call lifestyle creep, which is possibly what our friend on social media was suffering from.
Yeah.
To say, you know, every time I make a little extra money, I spend a little more. So when you try and look at it in what accountants would call constant currency terms, you know, someone is really not growing. You know, they're just at the same place. They're not leveraging their earning ability to improve their lot, because the more they make, the more they spend.
Yeah.
So are they actually ultimately better off from a wealth perspective than they were 20 years ago? Not really. They probably live better, wear better clothes, drive a better car. But in terms of actual net worth, there's very little to show.
Yeah.
Because of lifestyle creep.
Yeah.
And so that's where we always say that the right money habits are really, really important. Having an emergency fund, I think that's just good financial discipline.
Yeah.
Ensuring that your productive assets, including your body and your capability to make money, are insured.
Yeah.
That's good financial discipline as well. And if you have the discipline set in and the habits, you know, entrenched, it's a lot easier. You don't find yourself having to make an either or discussion, because you then appreciate the role that each of the different, you know, tools play.
Yeah. And I think that really sums it up quite beautifully. In fact, I was thinking that perhaps the greatest threat to building the right money habits is exactly that lifestyle creep. You know, you look at our peers, or you look at someone in church and like, I also want that. And next thing you know, your lifestyle is literally just bad money habits. And we need to watch out for that as well. How do we round it up in 10 seconds or so?
So if I were to round it up, I'd say ultimately we always come back to this.
Yeah.
Get the right money habits in place. You know, the world of finance is really, really technical, but the basics are the basics.
Yeah, true.
If you are spending too much of what you are making, and if you're taking it as far as even spending more than you are making, then you are headed for trouble. It's just a matter of time before trouble catches up with you. Insurance has its place, an emergency fund has its place, but get the right money habits in place to start. And it's never too late. I think let's say that, right? Because, you know, I think sometimes people listen to us talk about all of these things and they think, oh, you must be an expert. You know, I keep saying, look, I'm also learning. I'm by no means an expert. I probably have a little more information than most people care to find. But nothing that we discuss here is top secret, Tabulo. If you have an interest, you know, the information is out there. But the most fundamental thing, you know, before you start getting into formulas and all of things, is just, am I not spending more than I am making? And am I putting a little money aside? And am I not allowing my lifestyle to chase my earnings? Because lifestyle will always win. You know, in that fight, it's a heavyweight against a lightweight. Lifestyle will always beat your earnings if you allow lifestyle creep to set in.
Definitely. I think one day we must talk about how compound interest just takes the little that you put away and makes it much, much more bigger. And I suppose that's another money habit that we need to put in place. Thank you, Tish. Really appreciate your time, and have a good week.
Thank you very much, Tabulo. And also, good habits compound, eh?
Yeah. Ooh, okay.
Yeah. Good habits compound. You find, you know, if you can get discipline in one area of your life, I think it's a little easier to get discipline in other areas of your life as well.
Sure.
So we talk about compound interest from a money perspective, and sometimes people look at it and think, oh, well, I don't have the money to compound.
Yeah.
But if you have the right habits, you can compound those too.
Sure. What a way to end it. Thank you, Tish. That's a punchline. Yes. I'm going to keep that one.
All righty. Excellent. Thank you very much, Apollo, and thank you to your listeners.
Thank you so much. That is, of course, Tish there, talking to us about, what's the difference between emergency fund and insurance, and why are these things very important? Yeah, guys, insure those things that make productive, you know, makes it easy for you to be productive. Let me put it that way. Insure those things. And that means including yourself, like he said. Insure yourself because you need this body. You really need this body. That's the body that you're going to use to actually make that money that you need to make. If you don't take care of your body, then you are impeding the very thing that makes you to be productive. I'm not a health expert. I know nothing about health, but I think it speaks to eating right, making sure that you don't drink certain things that you shouldn't drink, and you know those things. You won't necessarily mention them, but it means you cut down on certain things right from that. And then he says, you know, the right habits compound. The right habits compound. That means not only your money habits, not only your health habits, your career habits, your family habits, your relationship habits, everything. If it's done correct, it compounds. Drops mic.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.